Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. We design, craft and install beautiful kitchens. cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
Who is the real Elon Musk? Visionary genius, pampered CEO, or dangerous maverick? Or perhaps a little bit of all three. My next guest probably knows more about Musk than most and how he really operates behind the scenes. Investigative journalist Zonka Everson is the author of The Tesla Files, based on a staggering series of data leaks from a Tesla insider. He joins me now on the line. Zonka, good morning.
Good morning. Nice to be here.
Can we start with that major leak? What kind of information did it contain?
Well, it contained, there were 23,000 documents, so there's a lot of stuff, but most prominently was very desperate customers complaining about their autopilot software. People who claimed that their cars had accelerated by themselves or stopped by themselves while they were driving on the car. We have people telling us that they drove their children to the school, and on the parking lot inside the school yard, they suddenly jumped ahead. One woman told Tesla about her car driving into a wall. Another one about his car stopping in a tunnel. And then there were the very horrifying ones of people crashing the Teslas, or having the widows, and they are suspecting that the autopilot software had something to do with it, and they were just not getting ahead with Tesla in any kind of meaningful way.
What did you learn from these files about Elon Musk's own faith in self-driving vehicles? Because he's been promising that they're just around the corner for a very, very long time and not delivering.
Exactly right. He's been promising this since at least 2014-15. He said in 2016, he said it's essentially a solved problem. And although with all the regulations that they had to comply with, it may take another year, but basically we are here. And with autonomous driving, he means not getting behind a wheel if you drive in your car, but getting on the back seat, telling your car where you want to go, and then getting out when it's there. And to this day, that is just not happening. And but whenever he makes another promise of this happening, the stock price goes up, and so that might point that might point for a reason, to a reason why he keeps saying this.
How much of this do you put down to being the standard Silicon Valley playbook, that you fake it until you've made it?
Basically. And maybe another term would be more appropriate, this beta testing, putting out a product that isn't really quite finished yet and having the customers test it and make it right. If your car crashes, then you may be losing your life or you may end somebody else's. But the approach is the same. It's the Silicon Valley approach, and Musk is doing it.
What have you learned about the philosophy which underpins his outlook? Long-termism, what does that mean?
Long-termism, it's a philosophy that says that every person should not just be looking out for people around him who live today, but to do the best that is beneficial to all the people that will live in the future. And then future is then, long-termism is meant really, really long. They say, Musk says, the human species is, we're mammals, and the normal mammal species lasts 1 to 2 million years on the planet before it vanishes. And we're in maybe 200,000-300,000 years, so we have at least 1 million years to go. So you bring this back to autopilot. If he says the autopilot is driving better than any human and it can reduce accidents by 90%. And if you multiply that, now there's about 1.2 million deaths on the streets around the world. And his promise is to bring that down by 1 million. And then that's 1 million a year. And then you multiply 1 million years by 1 million human lives. Then you get, 1 trillion or so? 1 trillion lives saved. you know, this
okay,
is...
Okay, that sounds impressive, but I wonder then, is the downside of long-termism that while you might believe that it is human beings' manifest destiny to be driven around in self-driven cars, that it doesn't matter to him, or that it is an acceptable rate of casualty, that there will be injuries and fatalities along the way?
That seems to be the logic. That how can you argue that it's too dangerous to try this out, even if it's, you know, 10 lives, 100 lives, or 100,000 lives are ending in the process of trying this out, if you save a billion or 50 billion lives in the future? So, yeah, that's the logic. But he's applying this logic without asking us. I mean, any car driver is kind of participating in this test, and also anybody who's crossing the street and there's a Tesla coming down the road didn't ask him if he wants to be a test subject in this great laboratory experiment of his to, you know, for a better human future. I would never dispute that he's a really excellent technician, really brilliant engineer, and a really great businessman. I mean, who else in the last 50 years has been able to found a car company, and who else in the world has been able to put rockets into space? It's Elon Musk. So he's clearly a brilliant guy, but he's also the guy who keeps over promising things. His best product seems to be his promise.
Yeah, because I wonder about that brilliance sometimes. I'm just thinking, you know, if you look at SpaceX rather than Tesla for a second, if NASA had blown up as many rockets as SpaceX has, they'd have been shut down. So it's kind of easy to be Elon Musk in some respects, because his fantastic wealth insulates him from the concerns that normal businesses have to operate within. He can embrace a much higher level of risk and expenditure than anybody else can.
That's true, but he's always been that way. I mean, SpaceX almost went bankrupt and Tesla almost went bankrupt several times. And he just has no fear of risk. If you have the time, there's an example of in the early days of his life when he was collaborating with Peter Thiel, the other big billionaire in Silicon, one of many big billionaires. They were sitting in his car, in his McLaren sports car, which he had bought for $1 million after selling his first company. And they were on the way to an investor. And so Musk is driving this $1 million sports car. And Thiel is kind of egging him on, saying, hey, say, this supercar of yours, what can it really do? And Musk says, watch this. And then he puts his foot on the accelerator and the car jumps forward, brakes out, touches the railing, and gets airborne. And then they fly together and spinning like a discus, as Musk tells it, across the California highway, come down and crash. And the car, which is uninsured, $1 million car, uninsured, it's a total crash. There's nothing left of the car. And as if by miracle, neither of them is injured. And then neither of anybody else on that street is injured. But that's basically how Musk runs his life. And
what did that incident convince him of? Did it convince him of his immortality, his invulnerability, or just that he's an incredibly lucky man?
No, I think he has a really messianic
complex.
Complex of himself. He wants to put us all on Mars. He thinks all these regulations, all the laws are just dragging him down and therefore preventing him from making Earth a better place or mankind a better species. That's his true belief.
Okay. I know the book is about Tesla, but when you look at the latest episode in Musk's life and the running of this Department of Government Efficiency in the United States, is this the point at which his brilliance becomes unstuck and his feet of clay effectively are exposed to all?
Well, that's one way to look at it. But the reason why he went into politics is because his companies were subject to so many investigations, you know, X for hate speech and SpaceX for all kinds of things, Tesla for this autonomous driving, the autopilot issues. And he specifically stated that he had to prevent Kamala Harris from becoming president, because if she had become president, all these investigations would have gone on and he would have not liked that, and it would have dragged down him and in turn humankind. That's the reason why he financed Trump. And once he had helped Trump into office, all those investigations, or a lot of them, stopped or were severely hampered.
So that leads to my final question then. Is Elon Musk's real genius in getting the taxpayer to subsidize SpaceX and Tesla and sidestepping investigations that would close down any other company?
That's certainly one way to look. He really wants, his vision is this autopilot. His vision is people on different planets. But he is just not accepting that other people have a say in that as well. And so he's using all his power and all his money, all his wealth to, as you say, circumvent or just jump over and to, you know, clear the road of any obstacle ahead of him. Yeah, that's the world we are living in now.
Elon Musk's world. Sonke Iversen, author of The Tesla Files, thank you very much for talking to us.
Get in touch on WhatsApp 0870 32 32 32.